What does 2012 hold for you? Now, for some people, every year at this time or around this time, it's time for a New Year's resolution. And different people have different resolutions. For some, they have a resolution to stop smoking. For some, they have a resolution to be nice to other people. For some, you know, they have, you know, a resolution to go out and get a job or something along those lines. But different people have different things that they put their mind toward at this time of the year. Now, some people don't have New Year's resolutions. And for some, 2012 couldn't come sooner. 2011 was a tough year. And they wish the year away and are glad to see 2012 and hope for a great start. For some, they hope for more of the same because 2011 was just a fantastic year. It could be a new start for someone. It could be a new job, a new house, a new family member, maybe, Cass, that's joining the family. Everyone's got different things to look forward to this year. So I just want to ask you three questions today before I get into the nitty-gritty of the message. In these unstable times in terms of economy, what are you sure of this year? What is the thing that you are sure of at this point as you look forward to this year? What are you sure of? What opportunities are ahead? What opportunities do you see into the future? And that could be any realm of things. What opportunities? And this last question is probably the most important in terms of what I'm speaking about this morning. What are you going to seed this year? What are you going to plant this year? What is it that you're going to put in the ground at the hope that it might spring up and bring something awesome ahead of itself? This message today kind of continues on the line of what I've been speaking about in the last couple of months when I've been up here, and it's about relationships. But it's about the impact that you or me or we have on our relationships. Not the impact that other people have on you, but the impact that you have on relationships. See, relationships are always a two-way thing. Whether they be husband and wife, parent to child, friend to friend, your working relationships, the relationships you have at church. See, all those things, all those relationships, they all go perfectly all the time, don't they? All those relationships, they go absolutely swimmingly. There's never any issues with relationships. When two people are involved, it always goes beautifully. There's the first lie I've told of 2012. They don't go perfectly all the time. And sometimes it's just that they don't go perfectly, and sometimes it's unjust that they don't go perfectly. They don't go the way we think they should. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, and this is what I spoke about with the first message when I came back, it was about the ministry of reconciliation. And it's this: all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So he has stood in the gap for us. He has put a bridge between us and him through Christ. And he said, and now I give you that ministry. I give that to you. I've given it to you. I give that to you now to act out, to live, to reconcile others to you and others to God. And along that path, and this is what I want to talk about today, of God reconciling us to himself, mercy was a very, very important element. And today I want to talk to you about mercy for a brief period of time. Paul spoke in 1 Timothy, and he, in his letter in 1 Timothy, he said this, 1 Timothy 1 verse 16, he said this, "But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." So what Christ has done for others, he's done it in him, so that others may receive eternal life as well. So what is mercy? Well, let me start with a little story that probably what mercy isn't. I wish I could tell all the stories that I get working over at Bunnings in the paint area, because it'd be very amusing, some of the things that I bring back and tell you about. But I can't tell you all the stories. But this particular one I can tell you about. I think it was on Monday. I had a lady came into Bunnings, and she had two paint cans that she'd already had mixed, and she brought them back. And one was a little pot, and if you know anything about painting, it's called a sample pot. And so she'd had that mixed the first time she came in, and it was kind of a light colour. It was very almost white. And she had a 4-litre can, which she came in the second time to get a copy of the first one. But this one looked kind of green. And she was not a happy camper. She was not happy with her green colour that she was going to put on her doors when they should have been white. And so it turned out that, to cut a long story short, what had happened is, obviously the first person who'd mixed it, because when I did a repeat can, it came out the green colour. The first person who mixed it mixed the wrong colour. And so the repeat can was actually pretty close to right. And so she wanted retribution, because she had half a door that had been painted green and she wanted it white. So we discussed different things, and she said, "I think the person who did this should be sacked. They should be sacked right now." And I said, "Really?" I said, "You've got one colour of paint wrong and you think the person that mixed it should be sacked?" And she said, "Yes. How can that sort of thing happen?" And I said, "Well, actually, we mix thousands of cans of paint every week. Thousands. And some of those are wrong. And they could be wrong because someone's made a mistake, because people make mistakes. I was as nice as I could. It could be that the machine is wrong because it tinted the. It could be that someone's got the wrong formula. There are many reasons why it could be wrong." And she shook her head. Anyway, I ended up getting the colour right correctly to watch. And she was delighted at the end. She was really happy. And this is what she said at the end. She said, "I guess it was a bit of an overreaction, wasn't it, about having someone sacked?" And this is what she said. She said, "If you're a nurse, you could kill someone and still not get sacked." And I thought, that's an interesting view on life about a paint can that was the wrong colour. So that's probably not what mercy is, having someone sacked because they got a wrong paint colour. But mercy is this by dictionary definition. It says that it's compassionate or kindly forbearance shown toward an offender or an enemy or another person in one's power. That's what mercy is. So I've got a bit of a DVD clip to kind of back that up and show you what it's about. So if you want to keep your eyes on the screen, let's have a look at this. Powerful scene. "I ransomed you from fear and hatred. Christ ransomed us from fear and hatred." Jean Valjean, This is the story of Les Miserables, if you don't know. He was a man who turned his life round. He became a mayor of a town. And then he had mercy on a lady called Fantine, who had a child that she couldn't pay for or look after. She ended up dying. He had to flee because his true identity had been brought out. He had to flee from a man called Javert. There was a police officer. And he promised Fantine that he would look after his daughter Cosette for her life. And he did. He kept his word. And so we had a picture of two things that are poles apart. A police officer that didn't want to give any mercy, and a man who was ransomed from fear and hatred and turned his life around and then showed mercy to others. You know, sometimes it's hard to give mercy if we haven't received it. But all of us have received mercy. We all have. Let me word it this way. Sometimes we find it hard to give mercy when we don't recognize that we've received it. And mercy, God's way, doesn't always come out in the way man does things. Man will not always give mercy. What is modelled to us today in the articles we read, the news programs and the TV shows isn't always about mercy. Some people want to sue someone at the first sign of trouble. If they trip over a pavement, they might want to sue the council. If someone hurts them in some way, they want to sue them. I don't know whether that's in God's scheme of things, really. That's not mercy, how God sees things. See how much money we can make off someone else's mistake. Matthew 5:7 says this in the Beatitudes. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. James 2:12-13 says this. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Let me ask you those questions again that I asked earlier. In your relationships this year, what are you sure of? We can be sure of certain things, but we can't be sure of everything. We can never be sure of how someone's going to react or how someone's going to treat us. What opportunities are ahead? What opportunities in your relationships do you have this year that are ahead? You might have something broken that needs fixing. You might have pain in there, even in your walk with God, that needs fixing. What opportunities do you see? Do you see it as pain or do you see it as opportunity? An opportunity to show mercy, maybe. And what are you going to seed this year? What are you going to plant this year? Well, that priest that you saw in the story sowed a seed of mercy. And he was never, ever going to see the outworking of it. Sometimes we have an expectation or a concern that if we sow a seed of mercy, that people aren't going to change. Well, this man may not have changed, but the priest still sowed a seed of mercy. And it brought forth incredible life and incredible power. In Matthew 1:19, as we heard a couple of weeks ago, Alan shared brilliantly about the worst day of Joseph's life. Matthew 1:19, it says, "And her promised husband Joseph," this is about Mary, "being just an upright man and not willing to expose her publicly to shame and disgrace her, decided to repudiate and dismiss her quietly and secretly." It says that says in the word there that he was going to divorce Mary. But he didn't end up doing that because he had an encounter with God that was life-changing. And he showed mercy. Look at the seed that he sowed when he showed mercy. Christ came into the world because of the mercy he showed. And we received mercy, all of us here. Millions and millions and millions upon people are saved, going to eternity because of Joseph's act of mercy. He didn't have her stoned when he rightfully could have, but he listened to the voice of the angel that God sent. Joseph had a decision to make, and he could have seeded something that might have ended something so beautiful right there and then, and yet he seeded life. And therefore we have life because he chose to give mercy. Jean Valjean received mercy and therefore seeded mercy as well. So this year, I want you to have a bit of a think right now. And in a couple of minutes when we do communion, not yet, we won't serve it yet, about your relationships. Son, daughter, friend, brother, sister, a boss, your mum, or your dad, maybe another driver, maybe a leader, maybe a shop assistant, or a waiter. Someone that maybe doesn't deserve mercy. And for you, some of you here, it may be something that you've had to hold on to for years and you haven't shown mercy. Maybe this year's the year where we seed something different. It doesn't always go to plan. It's not what I'm asking you, but what's God saying to you today about mercy? And by the way, mercy with strings attached isn't mercy at all. Today, when you think of people in your life, and it may be not even relevant now, but something might happen in the next month. Something might happen in the next 6 months. I want you to think back to today. Think back to the picture you saw of Jean Valjean being shown mercy by that priest. Think back. Go, what could I do today? Sometimes in the workplace, it's a hard thing to do because it's dog eat dog. It's I've got to get to this point or I've got to get to that point. Sometimes at home, it's hard to show mercy to those close, and yet, you know, the pressure's on. Things have got to be done. And you might get frustrated with someone instead of showing mercy. But today, that choice is yours. Micah 6 verse 8 says this. "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love kindness and mercy, and to humble yourself and walk humbly with your God. If we could have the elements distributed now. As the elements go round, one thing I think is really important today is the fact that sometimes we don't recognise that we've received mercy. And some people do find it hard to give mercy and to bring mercy. And today, as you take the elements, I want you to think about that and say, God, I find it hard to give mercy. I find it hard to bring mercy in different situations. Help me to understand that you have shown me great mercy. Because the Bible says that when we give mercy, we'll be shown mercy. It's a contemplative thing. On the first day of 2012, but as we consider 2012 and as you take the elements, I want to give you a couple of moments just to think about that mercy and that powerful scene of Jean Valjean and also the scene of Christ on a cross, God giving us mercy through Christ. So as you receive the elements, I just wanted you to take them and consider it. Don't take them yet. We'll have them together in a moment. But just hold them and we'll consider it. Consider God's mercy in your life. And consider others that you may struggle with. And then we'll take them together in a couple of moments. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love kindness and mercy and to humble yourself and walk humbly with your God? Father, we just thank you for today, for the power once again as we see it in the cross that has shown mercy and grace for us, that we sit here today and we celebrate you because of the cross. And we have new life because you rose again. And as we consider the elements of the cup, your blood, the body, which is the bread, Father, we are grateful today and we recognize that you have shown us mercy. And Lord, as we go about life in whatever we do, whether it be at home, at school, at work, a church. Father, I pray that we would be carriers of your word, that we would be carriers of the gospel. And we are grateful today, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name.